we need to be able to articulate from the scriptures very simply the clarity and the confidence of the doctrine that there is one God, and that God the Father is God, and God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is God, and God the Holy Spirit is God.
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller talking about his presentation at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And we want to make that case with a simplicity that comes from the scripture, and we want to consider then the beauty of what it means to worship the Holy Trinity.
You can meet and hear Pastor Brian Wolf Miller making the case for the Trinity at the annual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Pastor Wolf Miller will be joined by Dr. Robert George, Mark and Molly Hemingway, Pastor Hans Feeney, Dr. Albert Moeller, and Pastor Will Whedon. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385.
We can thank Hillary Clinton in 2016 for the worst platform language in the history of the platform language. And it was clear she didn't want to vote, so I guess she got what she asked for.
For many, politics is becoming their religion, both on the right and on the left. And I think that it's important that we recognize that this is ultimately a spiritual battle. You can't make the mistake of letting the power of the gospel deny the accountability of the human being to resist and reject what God gives.
This is Jeff in Michigan. Lutheran layman learning Latin. Love, issues, etc. Pater noster qui es in caelis.
Charismatic teachers, well, they always have, but even more so nowadays, still do make a lot of promises. They promise you wealth and happiness and better finances and a better family and a better just about anything if you follow meticulously their steps, their keys that they give you to unlock those avenues in your life. Do those promises have any basis in Scripture? And what if they're promising you that you can live in the miraculous, that you can operate, as they say, in the miraculous? Is that a promise that Scripture authorizes any teacher to make? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, we're going to be talking about popular teacher Katie Souza and her keys to operating in miracles. Pastor Chris Rosebrough is our guest, pastor of Kotzfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
When it comes to teachers like Katie Souza, you and others have adopted the phrase glow-in-the-dark Christians. What does that mean?
A good question. And so here's the basic idea behind it. Now, I don't talk about this much, but both my wife and I spent time in the charismatic movement in something that was called the Latter Rain movement, which is a predecessor, a precursor to the New Apostolic Reformation, the NAR. And there is a particular psychological conundrum that occurs for the grassroots everyday charismatic. And the conundrum goes something like this. How come that person who's on stage and telling all these stories of their spiritual exploits, how come they are able to operate in signs and wonders and hear directly from God conversationally, and I can't? And so you sit there and you're honest with yourself and you go, well, I don't hear from God and I don't operate in signs and wonders, but they're telling me that I can operate in signs and wonders and hear the voice of God directly just like them. And so the idea here is that particular psychological conundrum creates a multi-tiered Christianity. And so the people who are on the top tier, who are touted as being able to hear the voice of God, have prophetic visions, operate in signs and wonders, that top tier is being, you know, shall we say, cynically described by others and myself as the glow-in-the-dark Christians. Because when you push on that class of Christian, the reality is that they're not really operating in signs and wonders. These are false signs and false wonders, which Scripture warns us about. But it creates this two-tiered system. Now, the other part of the two-tiered system then is that oftentimes the people who are the glow-in-the-dark Christians, they claim to have special insights as to what you need to be able to do in order to break the blockage so that you can glow in the dark like them. Because ultimately, it's always your fault that you don't glow in the dark. And so they usually sell programs, or oftentimes they'll claim to have special insights. And so let me show you why you don't glow in the dark, or why you don't have your victory. And so people listen to them because they desire to be able to glow in the dark or have breakthrough in their life. And oftentimes it'll involve sending money to them as well. So the glow in the dark Christian is the top tier Christians who apparently have done what it takes to get their act together so that they can operate in miracles and things.
I want you to repeat and expand a little on something that you said there, that these are false signs and they're not hearing directly from God. They're not operating in miracles. Make your case there.
All right. So when you do the research, like for instance, one of the top tier glow in the dark Christians is a fellow by the name of Todd White. And when he performs signs and wonders, his big sign and wonder is he can stop people on the street and then perform the miracle of lengthening one leg that was supposedly shorter than another. That's not a sign or a wonder. That's what we call a parlor trick. I would say that he would not be able to fool Penn and Teller on their magic show, Fool Us. But many, if you spent any time watching TBN or watching these healing revivals over and over again, top tier guys like Benny Hinn and others, always and again, they are claiming that God is healing invisible ailments. So they'll say, anyone here who's suffering from a blood disease, God is healing you. And somebody comes up on the stage and they go, you called out that people were having healing for blood disease as well. All of a sudden, after you said that, I felt a lot better because I have a blood disease, but you can't see it. There's no doctor verification or things like that. And so you'll note that there's a lot of hype that goes along with this claim to the miraculous. And so Benny Hinn, Todd Bentley, and other famous faith healers, when you push to see if there's really been a healing miracle that has taken place, over and again, there's no way to verify any of the healings, and doctor verification is never forthcoming. When you push them and say, could you give me a doctor's validation that this person who claimed to have this blood disease healed by you is now truly cured of it? They'll say, oh yeah, well, the doctor's evidence exists that it's been verified. Well, will you share it? And they kind of stutter and they're not able to do that. That's classically how this works. And so I have yet to see a verified, for real, third-party, independent, verified miracle on the part of these people running around the charismatic movement claiming that they operate in healings and signs and wonders.
Refresh our memory. Who is Katie Sousa, and what are we going to hear first from her?
Katie Sousa is a gal who is now quite popular among the charismatic and the New Apostolic Reformation stream of the church. And she is the disciple of Patricia King, and she's got a program called Healing Your Soul, and which is viewed on several quite prominent Christian television networks. And so this is a woman who a few years ago was obscure, but has really, really grown in popularity in the charismatic movement.
What are we going to hear from her?
All right, she's going to start. We're going to listen to a segment that this is supposedly about idolatry, and I want to talk about that sin, by the way. But in a setup on this first soundbite, she's going to claim that she's going to ask the question: Do you want to be able to operate in these higher level gifts that supposedly distinguish Christians? And so you'll note that right off the bat, she's going to set up this concept of glow in the dark Christians. She won't use that term, but she'll describe it. And do you want to be able to do that? And so she's going to claim that she's going to give you biblical keys so that you can unlock the ability to operate in these higher level gifts and start to put her toe in the water with the claim that idolatry is going to be one of those things that are going to be blocking you from being able to operate in these higher level gifts.
Hi, I'm Katie Sousa, and you're watching Healing Your Soul, Real Keys to the Miraculous. How many of you would like to walk in extraordinary, supernatural, creative miracles? Do you wonder why some people do and others don't? Did you know that your thoughts can actually feed demon spirits that are able to block you from moving in these high-level gifts? The Bible contains keys to enable you to move in what Paul calls the extraordinary gifts that distinguish certain Christians. Today, I'm going to talk about one of the biggest keys that you can use to unlock the door to the supernatural. And when I tell you what it is, you'll be shocked. Let's go to the conference now. I'm going to talk about a message, and it will seem like, oh, this isn't a faith-filled, glory-filled, exciting message. Oh, my God, what is it? It's a message on idols. And you'll think, oh, my gosh, everybody leave now. This is so Old Testament. Please. But I'm going to apply it to what's happening to us today, because you got to get rid of these things that are in you that are blocking your success and your prosperity and your breakthrough. Amen? Okay, and I'm going to show you how these idols that are in our life are totally affecting us today. It's not an Old Testament message.
So first of all, I would note that she's playing right into that anxiety.
Yes.
The charismatic Christians, she knows that her listeners and her followers are asking that question, why her and not me?
Yeah, exactly. And see, and a lot of people don't talk about it, but her setup completely shows that not only is she aware of it, but she's going to play off of that to further kind of create the impression that she's able to operate in these miracles, but also lend a helping hand by helping people to achieve that glow in the dark status. And so in putting this forward, then her claim is that idols live in your soul, and that these idols are the things that are blocking your ability to operate in the miraculous, blocking your ability to have breakthrough and healing and other things. And we're going to note something here. Idolatry is a real sin. But what she's describing as symptomatic of it, it can only be described as some kind of quackery. It's really strange, the theology that she's built around this. So in talking about the sin of idolatry, I mean, this is something that comes up quite frequently in our sermons with my catechumens when we teach the catechism. You know, it's the first commandment. What is the first commandment? That we should have no other gods. And what does this mean? That we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And so what is an idol? An idol is that thing that to which you look for comfort or solutions in your times of trouble and need. And so, you know, we as human beings, we create idols for ourselves. And it doesn't necessarily require us to go out and cut down a tree and form it into, you know, some kind of an image that we bow down to. That's kind of the ancient world's version of idolatry, which does exist in other world religions today. If you were to travel to India and in the East, you would see all kinds of forms of idolatry that are visible in that genre. But we Americans, we have a more sanitary version of idolatry. We worship power. We worship sex. We worship money. We might even worship video games or things like that. These are the things that we turn to. So when things go difficult in your life, you go on a Netflix binge rather than calling to God for help. Or when things go wrong in your life or you're experiencing stress and anxiety, you disappear into the bottom of a bottle of alcohol. And so alcohol can become an idol. So idolatry is a real thing. But what's the solution to idolatry? Well, confessing our sins and saying, Lord, I'm guilty of idolatry. Please forgive me. Receiving an absolution and bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. But you're going to note that in Katie Sousa's theology, and you'll see this in the sound bites that follow, you can engage in idolatry and not even really know it. And the lasting effects are that it's going to keep you from operating in the miraculous. And her solution isn't repentance and trusting in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Her solution, again, is going to sound like something akin to selling snake oil.
Coming up next, I want to explore this idea that seems to be the premise of Sousa's talk here, that Christians, even Christians, can be infested with demons and not know about it. Is that a biblical idea? Stay tuned. Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk is the author of our Book of the Month for February. It's titled, Without Flesh. What does the church have to offer the world in this present darkness?
Find out in Without Flesh. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, Without Flesh by Pastor Jonathan Fisk.
Are you looking for a confessional Lutheran church in Southeast Oakland County, Michigan, just north of Detroit? Ascension of Christ Lutheran has been proclaiming the gospel and administering the sacraments since 1951. Ascension of Christ Lutheran is also a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Join us for the Divine Service every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. in Beverly Hills, Michigan. You can also find us on the internet at ascensionofchrist.org.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're listening to some sound bites from Katie Souza and her promises to unlock you and your life to operate within the realm of miracles. It's this week in Pop Christianity. Pastor Chris Rosebrough is our guest. Thanks to Thomas and Susan in Chesapeake, Virginia, Karen in Saginaw, Michigan, and Mike and Crystal in St. Charles, Missouri, for registering in the last 24 hours for the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. We're more than 4 months away, and the conference is more than half full. Find out more and register online at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385, Making the Case June 12th and 13th in Chicago. Chris, if you would, I want you to explain whether or not this idea that Christians can be infested with demons or idol spirits, as she says, and not even know about it. Is that a biblical idea?
No, it's not. And so within the charismatic and especially the NAR movement, they believe that Christians can be indwelt by, infested by demonic spirits. And so in order to achieve your breakthrough, Christians must undergo something called deliverance, which by all intents and purposes is no different than exorcisms. So you've got to have these demonic entities that are dwelling within you cast out by those who are able to operate in deliverance, healing ministries, and things like that. And there, if you were to video record a deliverance session and compare it to an exorcism session from the movie The Exorcist, there would be very little difference, except for maybe heads don't spin as much and there's not projectile vomiting. But the way it happens is identical. It's the same.
What's next from Katie Souza?
So now she's going to do what charismatics normally do. I mean, this is their go-to thing. They'll claim something, and then rather than take you to a biblical text that says, okay, so here's the key to operating in the miraculous, 4 Corinthians chapter 19 says X, Y, and Z. They don't do that. She goes to her anecdotal stories, stories from her own life. And you'll note she's deriving her theology from her experience rather than from the Bible. And we'll listen to kind of the dubious logic of what she's going to say next.
I'll just give you a simple example of the dramatic way that these idols are totally affecting our lives today. And I'll give you that example through an employee of mine called John Blake. John Blake has suffered for many years from all kinds of disorders and diseases. Okay, he got diagnosed with excessive ammonia on his brain. Years ago, this happened when he was having symptoms that appeared to be like Alzheimer's. So anyway, one time about, he'd been working for me for, I don't know, a couple of years probably. And then a friend of ours who also happened to be volunteering for the ministry had a dream. And in the dream, she could actually smell ammonia in the dream. So she decided to look it up. And when she looked it up, it means this. The word ammonia comes from the Greek ammonikos. And it's from the Greek god or the Egyptian god Among, because they actually obtained and discovered ammonia near the region of the temple of Amon in Libya. So it's named after the Egyptian god Among. How many of you know that all idols are demon gods? They're really demon spirits. That's what the Bible says. People weren't worshiping just statues with stones and gold and silver. They were worshiping the devil, the demon god or goddess that statue represented. So when she called me and told me this, I'm like, wow, I wonder if that's what is wrong with John. And so I went to bed that night and I prayed and I had a dream. I had a dream, and in the dream I could smell the smell of ammonia. So I woke up convinced now. So I go to the office. I said, John, I think you have you're being assaulted by a demon god named Amon. And I told him the whole story and everything else. I said, come to my house today when the rest of the staff comes and we're going to pray for you. So he came over to the house. Now, idols live in the soul. It's your soul that wants an idol. It's your soul that goes after that money or that house or that shoes. And there's nothing wrong with having money or a house or shoes or boots or stuff that you like. Jesus died to give us an abundant life. He died so we could be safe and we would be blessed and we could be walking in the prosperity of his victory at the cross and the resurrection. Amen. But there's a difference between you being blessed and walking in prosperity and walking in abundance and lusting after something.
All right, Chris, I want to affirm something she said first before we get into basically most of what she said was hokum. We want to affirm that those who worship other gods are, in fact, worshiping demons.
This is correct. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says that explicitly. So let's just put this out there. You know, those who are bowing down to idols, they are for real worshiping demons. This is what the scripture says. There's no way around it. The source of all other false religions, aside from human imagination, is the demonic. The scriptures are clear on this. So we are in agreement with Katie Sousa on that point.
With respect to ammonia and the game of connect the dots that she played there, and you're right. She, instead of going to a Bible passage, she went to this anecdote and then this crazy kind of free association.
Right. And so you'll notice, rather than being a biblical exegete, this is becoming like a very weird episode of like crime scene investigators, right? She's found a shred of evidence. So here you've got her employee who has excessive ammonia on the brain, which, by the way, is a legitimate ailment that is usually caused by a problem with your liver. And it is when you have a problem with your liver not properly filtering the toxins out of your blood, ammonia can become an excess compound inside your brain, and its impact on your ability to function is severe. So we'll say this is a real thing. Now, a little bit of a note here. She also made the claim that the word ammonia was derived from the fact that the fellow who discovered ammonia, it found it in a region of the world that was near the temple of Jupiter Amon, which was named after the Egyptian god Amun. That is historically accurate as well. That is really where the phrase or the word ammonia comes from. The person who coined the phrase, Torben Bergman, that's where he got the name from. All right, so that's correct. But now note how she's kind of connecting dots that are not biblical dots, but these are all based upon, you know, this weird kind of spurious narrative, is that we've got this weird thing. So when we talk in logic, one of the fallacies that people can fall into is a fallacy known as post hoc ergo propter hoc. After this, therefore, because of this. So the way this works is because the word ammonia comes from a derivation of the false god Jupiter Amun, that must mean that if somebody has ammonia on the brain, it's a result of idolatry. That doesn't actually follow. That doesn't make any sense. And how could we come up with a simple way of understanding this? Well, I don't know about you, Todd, but in my family, we use Windex for cleaning the mirrors in our bathroom, also for cleaning our windows. And I don't know if you've ever used Windex, but Windex has the compound in it that helps make it such a great cleaner. Well, it uses what's called ammonia D. And I'm beginning to think that maybe, just maybe, I mean, since, you know, ammonia comes, the term itself is because of the false god Jupiter Amun, that maybe the D in ammonia D stands for demons. And so, I mean, Todd, I mean, unbeknownst to any of us, I mean, if you're using Windex with ammonia D, you're probably spraying demons onto your windows and stuff in your house. And so, you know, if you're experiencing ailments, you've inadvertently committed idolatry by using ammonia D. Does this make any sense?
No,
it doesn't make any sense at all. And so you're going to note here, there's something really wacky going on here. But if you saw the video of this particular program of Katie's, there were people taking notes like, this is, oh, wow, this is quite the insight, when this isn't an insight at all. It's just quackery. And now I have to ask the question, how does one worship Jupiter Amun, which is the very specific demon idol here that the word ammonia is related to? How does one worship Jupiter Amun unknowingly? That's kind of my question. And then by worshiping Jupiter Amun unknowingly, then subject yourself to one of the potential consequences of that, and that having ammonia on the brain. When you start to push on this logic, it doesn't make any sense at all. And you'll note that her employee isn't called to repent of their sins, noting that this is true idolatry is a breaking of the first commandment. So the solution is, what does John say in his epistle? 1 John, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful, just to forgive us our sins, and listen to the phrase then, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If this employee of hers is truly guilty of idolatry, the solution is that he repent of his idolatry, be forgiven, and then he will be cleansed from all unrighteousness. And I guess that would include any ammonia on the brain or whatever. But again, this is just weird.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. He is host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about Katie Souza and her keys to operating in miracles. Chris will make the case that a Christian cannot be possessed next.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're committed to increasing LCMS faculty and staff members. Hi, this is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. If you're a member of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation, please consider joining our staff. And if you have a terminal degree, please consider joining our faculty. Send us an email at human.resources@cuchicago.edu.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $135 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make a $135 check payable to Issues Etc. write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's Word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. We're talking about Katie Souza and her keys to operating in miracles. So, Chris, all along she is assuming that Christians not only can be, but mostly are infested with demons. Make the case that the Christian cannot be possessed.
All right. So we're going to start, number one, with baptism. Well, on the day of Pentecost, you know, after Peter preaches his brilliant Christ-centered sermon and calls people to repent, the people say, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And what does Peter say? "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so you're going to note this, that when it comes to Christians, we are indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit. In fact, in other epistles, other places in the New Testament, our bodies are said to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. So Christians are indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit, third person of the Holy Trinity. This is undisputable fact that is true. And you're going to note then that nowhere in Scripture do you ever see a Christian who is indwelt by a demon. Instead, we are indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit. And it is only those who have apostatized or who are not Christians who are demonized. In fact, Jesus talks about how when a demon is cast out of a person, that it wanders in arid places, and if it comes back and finds that home that it was living in swept clean, it goes and grabs other demons, and the state of the person is worse than at first. But see, when the demonic is cast out of our life in through repentance, faith, baptism, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, no demon would ever come back and find that person's soul or life or body to be empty. All Christians are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit doesn't share his temple with demons. And so there is no biblical case that you can make for the idea that Christians are possessed by the devil. That does not exist. Are we tempted by the devil? Oh, yeah. Every day we're tempted by the devil, our sinful flesh, the world. And the solution to that always and again is crying out to God the Holy Spirit, "Lord Jesus, have mercy on me and grant that this day that I fall into no sin." These are the ways in which we pray to God, and deliver us from the evil one, things of that nature. These are how we pray, but never are we instructed to pray or to cast out demons from somebody who is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit.
What should we listen for in this next soundbite from Katie Susan?
All right, so she's going to now jump kind of to the next thing. She's not really made her case, but apparently it's enough that ammonia comes from Jupiter Ammon, therefore idolatry, which this doesn't work as a logical syllogism, but she's now going to take a biblical text that talks about how the scriptures describe idols as having eyes but cannot see, ears but cannot hear. And listen to what her conclusion is from that type of text.
Idols live in your soul, though. They're controlling the soul. Idols drive these spirits. They drive the soul to be hungry and to pursue these idolatrous things in their life. Sometimes we don't even have it in our life, but we were born with it, because those kinds of things get passed down from the generations. That's what I think happened to John Blake. So he came over to the house that day and I prayed for his soul to be healed. That's how I combated this spirit. I prayed for his soul to be healed. I just put my hand on him and soaked him for like an hour while we all worshiped. And when he got up, the first thing he noticed was that his mind was clearer than it had been since how long? Years clear. And he looked at me and said, wow, I feel a lot clearer. And I'm like, great, that's awesome. So then he goes home. He gets in the shower, and his whole life, when he would shower, he would smell a strong smell of ammonia coming off of his body. At first, he thought it was just normal. He thought everybody smelled like that. But then the doctors told him, no, that's the excessive ammonia that's being stored in your body that you're smelling. So he went and got into the shower, and guess what? He didn't smell any ammonia. That's just one example of how these things are attacking us today. You got to understand something. If you made something into an idol in your life, that demon is going to attack you. And it can attack your money. It can attack your body. It can attack your family. It can attack your marriage. That's why it's so important that when we catch ourselves lusting after these things, we have to stop ourselves. We have to get healing for our souls. Because if we don't, the demonic realm is going to wreak havoc in your life, just like it did for John Blake. You would not believe the stuff that demons, these idols are able to do to you. I mean, just listen to this one example. Psalm 135 verse 16 says, idols have mouths, but they speak not, eyes, but they see not. Revelations 9:20 says that idols that are of silver, bronze, stone, and wood cannot see, hear, or walk. So idols make you deaf, dumb, blind, and crippled. Physically deaf, dumb, blind, and crippled. They can cause problems with your eyesight in the natural, problems with your hearing in the natural, problems with your walking in the natural. You know, cause crippling diseases on your bodies. I've seen it over and over again.
Okay, Chris, let's deal with her last point first, where she goes from Isaiah describing the lifelessness of idols to saying that somehow, put all the logic together here. When you are unintentionally and unknowingly worshiping demon idols that live in your soul, it's going to have physical consequences that affect seeing, hearing, speaking, and walking.
Yes. Yeah, this doesn't make any sense. Why? Well, because there's a verse that says that idols have eyes and do not see, mouths but do not speak. And the point of those texts is that these are lifeless idols. Why would you be praying to and worshiping something that some artist has made have eyes but doesn't actually have them? Your idol cannot see you. Your idol cannot hear you. You think of how this then plays out in the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. So they're crying out to their idol, to their deity, Baal. Oh, Baal, hear us. And of course, Baal has eyes, but he can't see. He has ears, but cannot hear. So what does Elijah say to them? Cry louder. Speak louder. Maybe your God can't hear you. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's in the bathroom relieving himself. And so the whole point is that these are lifeless idols. But what Katie Sousa does, she takes these verses out of context and then makes this huge jump in logic. In fact, the chasm that she's jumping in logic, Evel Knievel couldn't even jump it in a rocket car. And she ends up saying, well, therefore, because they have eyes but do not see, if you're blind or you're having problems seeing or hearing, oh, it's because of idols in your soul. This is complete quackery. That's the only way to describe it. And she has shown that she's incapable of even basic logic, let alone properly exegeting and explaining what a biblical text means.
I imagine, in addition to the anxiety that her listeners and followers feel in asking that initial question, which is why
her and not me. Why can she operate in miracles, but I can't seem to do it? She's just piled on more, hasn't she?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And so now you're sitting there going, well, I better do an inventory in my heart to figure out which idols I've unintentionally worshipped that are causing me to have these blockages so that I can't operate in the miraculous. And so you leave with notes, but no ability to figure out how to actually turn the keys that were given to you in order to unlock the ability to operate in the miraculous, because it's almost as if, you know, the instructions that are given are so vague and meaningless that you can't figure out how to construct the edifice that she's telling you to put together. Now, I would note something also in the soundbite we just listened to, this John Blake employee of hers. Notice again, she did not have him confess the sin of idolatry, repent, be forgiven, receive an absolution. She said that she was able to heal him by soaking him for an hour, which I don't even know what that is. Since when did soaking become a solution to the sin of idolatry? I mean, you're going to note there, none of this makes any biblical sense. But then again, she's a false teacher. She's a false prophetess. She operates in false signs and false wonders. And she does so for the purpose of making merchandise of the people who she's speaking to.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about Katie Souza and her keys to operating in miracles. Christianity is the religion given by God to restore what was lost. Faith in the words that cannot be proven. Faith alone is what died in Adam. Faith alone is what Christ's promise restores. Trust in their plain meaning, the meaning of God's unbelievable word, is eternal life. That's Pastor Jonathan Fisk in his latest book called Without Flesh. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February. It's at our website, issuesetc.org. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House and order Without Flesh, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, she's made a purely experiential case. Does that add up? Stay tuned.
You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Albert Moeller, Brian Wolfmiller, Hans Feeney, and Will Wheaton at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th in Chicago. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 12th and 13th at Concordia University, Chicago.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, teaches St. Paul. But what about those who cannot hear? Can they be saved? The February issue of the Lutheran Witness illuminates this topic and others, including hearing the gospel while singing the faith, how to listen to sermons, and proclaiming the gospel in foreign lands. Come, learn how the church confesses the word in words. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to issues, etc. It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Katie Souza and her keys to operating in miracles. Chris, I have noticed something here, and you pointed it out before. She doesn't go to the Bible. Her entire case, either in her experience or in the experiences of the people that she's talking about, is purely experiential.
Not only experiential and subjective, it's invisible. Whether or not he was truly healed of ammonia on the brain, you wouldn't be able to see it. I wouldn't be able to see it. In order for that to be confirmed, he would need to go and have a very expensive, and I mean expensive, battery of tests run on his body and his brain in order to determine whether or not he still was suffering from ammonia on the brain.
We have one more bite from Katie Souza.
Yeah, one more bite. We'll bring this to a close here. So now, having said all this, remember our premise. Our premise is that, you know, do you want to be able to operate in higher level miraculous signs and wonders, and wondering what's keeping you from doing it? So now this is going to be kind of the close of her argumentation and her giving this key of, you know, solving the idolatry, unknown idolatry that you're engaging in, that's causing demon spirits to indwell you, causing blockage. And so she's going to really make her case that these demons are attacking today, and she's giving you the solution on how to counter these attacks and to free yourself.
That man never mentioned he had any idolatry in his life, but I think he had something in his bloodline that he didn't know about that caused this mysterious disease that they couldn't figure out, causes bones to look like spider webs. Okay, and the reason why I think that he got healed of the idol, because in the same meeting, I had three people come up to me and report that when they got delivered of something during the activation, that they had to turn around and run to the bathroom. And when they did, strong smell of ammonia came out. Look, what does it say in the Bible? That idols cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot walk, they cannot talk. If you're having issues being able to walk, crippling diseases, or something with your eyes, or something with your ears, something with your mouth, or stuttering speech, it may be because there is an idol in your life or in your bloodline. See, this is just, I'm just trying to show you that this isn't an Old Testament message. These idols are alive and well, and they're attacking you. They're assaulting you today.
Okay, how did you kind of bring it home there?
So she was talking about another fellow's healing who had a similar but different ailment. And again, going to the anecdotal story, I believe he was healed because other people smelled ammonia. Okay. And then you'll note then that one of the things she said is that he wasn't aware of the idolatry in his life, because she believed that the reason why he was suffering the effects of idolatry was because this was a bloodline curse. And so somebody in his genetic heritage was guilty of idolatry, and therefore that person created a bloodline curse that was impacting him today and causing him to suffer the effects of idolatry in his life. And so she was able to heal him of the effects of idolatry through her activation and soaking, which, again, when you say these things in like normal conversations with sane people, you realize just how crazy this whole thing sounds.
She said it before in a previous bite that she thought that the other fellow was born with, I think he was born with this. Is there any scriptural evidence to suggest that someone can pass demon oppression down through their bloodline?
Let's talk about a bigger concept, and we'll say yes with a big asterisk. So you'll note that you and I were born dead in trespasses and sins because of the sin of one man, Adam. And so biblically, we understand that Adam's sin has impacted and corrupted every single one of us. So if you want to talk about the curse of sin in relation to the doctrine of original sin, well, now we can talk about that, because each and every one of us, we were born under the dominion of darkness, enslaved to sin, death, and the devil. And whose sin brought that on us? Well, one man's sin, and that's Adam's. And so there is a way in which we understand biblically that this is true. But the problem is that here's how this works out in her theology. So you become a Christian. You are a baptized, penitent believer in Jesus Christ. And maybe you're the first Christian in your family in five generations. And what they're basically saying, and this is stated tacitly, you kind of have to dig this out, is that you, although you are now a Christian, although you are baptized, although you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, there's these other things that you've never heard of, these bloodline curses, because maybe your great-grandpa Harold, who lived in the United Kingdom, was engaging in Celtic idolatry and worshiping the god of the Celts. And so what they'll say is that, well, that created a bloodline curse. And although you're a Christian, although you have the Holy Spirit, although you're baptized, you have to now break those bloodline curses that you weren't even aware of. And there's the problem. And you're going to note that Christ's death on the cross breaks the curse of sin that we've inherited from Adam and completely cuts it off. And so in their theology, there's all this other stuff that you're unaware of that you have to take care of. And here's the issue. They don't base the belief that you've got to take care of these things on biblical texts. They're based on anecdotal stories from people who are deliverance ministers and things like that. And this is a theology that in many cases has its origin in a book called Pigs in the Parlor, which is like the handbook of deliverance people. And this is the basis of their theology, but it's not based in the biblical text.
Pigs in the Parlor. Tell us.
Pigs in the Parlor. Yeah, Pigs in the Parlor. You can still get this online. That is the go-to book for people who engage in deliverance ministry and believe that Christians can be possessed or oppressed internally by the demonic. And bloodline curses is a portion of the teaching that's in the book Pigs in the Parlor.
Why is Katie Sousa doing this?
Money. This plain and simple. She is a complete con artist. She's spun and created her own theology, and she's preying on people for the purpose of making money. She's the type of teacher that Peter warns us about in 2 Peter, the type of teacher that Jude warns us about in his epistle. And she is a waterless rain cloud, and she is making merchandise of God's people, and she's going to have to give an accounting to God for every false word and every blasphemous statement that she's made. But at the end of the day, the motivation for her, and it's very clear if you've followed her for any length of time, her motivation is money.
And as you have pointed out so often, she's not alone, is she?
No. Unfortunately, the charismatic movement, because of their refusal to abide by the authority of Scripture and look for the voice of God in the written text that we have in the Bible, and their belief that we can, you know, God's speaking to us into the winds and the rocks and the trees and all these other places, and within my own heart, they not only tolerate people like Katie Sousa, they are afraid to contradict them or to get rid of them, lest they upset God the Holy Spirit and maybe sin against the Holy Spirit in a way that's unforgivable. But the reality is that it's obvious if you just open your Bible, compare what she's saying to God's word in context, and the claims that she's making, that we're not dealing with somebody who is operating in any signs and wonders. She's operating in a lot of flim-flam. She's a teller of tall tales. And I would note that her past is actually quite relevant here. She was arrested and spent time in prison because she used to cook crystal meth. And so she's an ex-con. But I would say that basically where, you know, she ran afoul of the government as a drug dealer and somebody who cooked crystal meth, she now has found that she can make a lot more money just telling lies and tall tales to gullible charismatics who refuse to open up their Bibles to see if what she's saying is true.
And finally, with about a minute, what do you say to that person who is asking themselves that question? They're going to some typical evangelical church and their pastor's making these claims of operating the miraculous or hearing from God, and they're saying, why him and not me?
I would say this, and that is that God does speak to us. I would point to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, in that epistle, Peter talks about his experience on the Mount of Transfiguration and talks about how he himself heard the very voice of the Father say from heaven about Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And as Peter is finishing up his life, he's days and weeks away from being crucified himself. He says, listen, we have the prophetic word more sure, more certain than the voice that I heard from the Father speak from heaven on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he points Christians to the Word of God. And so here's the idea. God is speaking to every one of us, but he's not speaking to you in your heart. He's not speaking to you in the winds or the rocks or the trees or through somebody who claims to be a prophet. He's speaking to you in the Word of God. That's where God has promised his voice can be heard. In fact, Paul himself says that all scriptures, theanoustos, God breathed. So we can trust the voice of God in scripture. So God is speaking to you. So stop looking for his voice in other places and go to the place where God has promised to speak to you, and you will hear him. And we all hear that same voice, the same doctrines, the same teachings, and it's found in the written word of God.
What kind of miracles will you be debunking tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
I haven't figured out what we're going to do yet. So I'm scrambling at the moment is the best way I could put it.
An honest man.
Yeah.
Listen to Pastor Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. at 5 Central at piratechristian.com. Piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. And don't feel bad, Chris. We scramble every single day here on Issues, Etc.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next week on Issues, Etc., we'll have Pastor Brian Wolfmiller introduce us to the book of Colossians. We'll continue our series, A Lutheran Response to Post-Christian Culture, talking with Dr. Gene Edward Veith about the body, and we'll discuss raising a strong daughter in a toxic culture with Dr. Meg Meeker. The promises of the charismatic teachers never pan out because they are not promises that God has made. God has not promised to allow you to operate in the miraculous. He's already done all the miracles that you need, up to and including the death and resurrection of his son for you. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues, Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.